You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 27, 2020, work underway on new legislation regarding FISA warrants and the FISA law itself. Several sections of it expired back in March, and now members of the legislature have been trying to hammer out new legislation. With the Justice Department today urging President Trump, when you get it, if it comes to you as it's been presented, veto it. Veto. So again, just hours before a scheduled vote in the House, this latest effort to reform FISA has everything up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen next. New survey indicating that 48% of New York State registered voters give Andrew Cuomo a negative review as to how he's handled the coronavirus pandemic. Reference elder care facilities, nursing homes. 48% don't like the way he did it. 44% give him a positive response. CDC changing, or I should say clarifying again, whatever it tried to say the other day. We'd originally been told you need to watch out for the virus. It can live on surfaces. Then the word came the other day, well, you don't have to worry about it living on surfaces. Then they come out again and say, well, that might have been misleading. Let's clarify it again. What we're saying is that, yes, it can live on a surface and touching it, and then touching your mouth, nose, or your eyes, you might get the virus, but insisting that's not the main way it spreads. All right, we understand that. But the confusion continues for a lot of folks, understandably. And then in Virginia, apparently they're going to be required to wear a mask in public. It's an executive order issued by Democrat Governor Ralph Northam. He issued it the same day the state saw its biggest spike in new virus cases. So they're saying, if you're going to be out in public in the state of Virginia, you have to wear a mask. You have to. And, of course, in Michigan, they continue to keep a lot of things closed down, and the residents have been extremely upset, holding numerous protests in the streets, going to the state capitol complaining, holding protests, some of them showing up carrying weapons. I've not been in favor of that. There's no reason to go to a rally like that carrying a weapon. There's nothing wrong with it. It was legislated at that time. They could certainly do that. They have since banned the weapons from actually inside or on Capitol grounds. But then comes this, the Michigan governor, Democrat, claiming she has seen some of those protesters carrying automatic rifles outside her house. Automatic rifles? She has no evidence, and I'm betting she doesn't even know what automatic means. They probably are semi-automatic, but they're not automatic. But I doubt she understands the difference. We had the Republican convention scheduled August 24 in Charlotte, North Carolina. The president said the other day the state governor continues to keep things closed down. He said if they continue that and we're not allowed full attendance in our arena for our event, we will cancel it. We will go elsewhere to a state that's opened up. And he wants an answer soon. In the meantime, members of the Charlotte City Council are also saying no way the GOP convention can take place as scheduled. Are they talking to the businesses, hotels that were looking for that influx of money? They want to say, we're going to take it right out of your hand, and yet we'll continue to tax you. You watch what happens. Disney World, if you're interested, will be opening in select areas of the Florida theme park, opening July 11. July 11. Now, here's something to consider. You know how far a light year is? There are 6 trillion miles in a light year. 6 trillion miles. To travel that continuously, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, to travel 6 trillion miles, it would take you 137,000 years, unless we have some sci-fi coming up that we don't have yet. 137,000 years to travel 1 light year, where there's a new galaxy, circular, similar in shape to a donut. They call it a ring of fire galaxy. They say it's curious looking, and it is 11 billion light years from Earth. 11 billion. Why do I bring that up? It just shows you how small we are, doesn't it? It certainly does.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
He screamed, "Mama, mama, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And they didn't care. They treated him worse than they treat animals, and I was like that. They took a life, now they deserve life. I don't feel sorry for them. They hurt me, and they hurt my family.
That is the brother of George Floyd, who died the other day while 4 police officers were in the process of arresting him. Those 4 officers have all been fired. Not suspended, fired, according to the police department. And now state and federal authorities are investigating to see if they violated George Floyd's civil rights in addition to the crime of murder or negligent homicide, however they end up charging, if they do. The family of George Floyd, his brothers, you heard, and others in the family want to see all 4 actually charged with murder. Now, I don't know all the facts of the case, and to my knowledge, there's no one that's talking that knows all of the facts. And it's easy to prejudge something based on the pictures. But I do have some summation, and I'll share with you in a moment. The video itself will be posted shortly at Larry Connors USA Facebook, so you can go to it and see it yourself. Basically, what's happening, police were called apparently to a street where they were told a man might be involved in some kind of fraud. And they arrive and they find George Floyd and at least one other in a car. They have them get out. One guy gets out without any trouble. Apparently, Floyd did resist a little bit, but he gets out, and then he's walked over to the side, put up against a building after being searched down, and set down on the pavement. Now, some of this being recorded by those on the scene. And then later, he's walked to one of the police cars. And that piece of video, as to what happens as he gets to the police car, as to what actually went down, I haven't seen any video verifying that event. And there were security cameras around the area that have shown some of the stuff that was not recorded by bystanders. But at one point, George Floyd is down on the ground. An officer has his knee into the back of his neck, holding his head down. And I can't tell by that scene if he's actually handcuffed or not. But he seems to be restrained. It seems to be under control. George Floyd's a large man, larger than any of the officers. But at that point, you don't see any resistance. You don't see any fighting. And he's down on the ground. His face is down. And the officer has a knee on his neck. And at that time is when George Floyd is recorded by bystanders basically saying, "I can't breathe." Now, we're going to let you hear one clip that we put together three different times, so make sure you can hear it. But the actual clip we took, he said it just once, although he did repeatedly through that time state over and over the same thing. But this is just a summation. Listen.
My stomach hurts. My neck hurts. Everything hurts. My stomach hurts. My neck hurts. Everything hurts. My stomach hurts. My neck hurts. Everything hurts.
In that one, he's saying, "My stomach hurts. I need water." And he had also said, "I can't breathe." A police officer holding someone down while they continue to repeat, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," certainly harkens back to what we saw with the Eric Garner case in New York in 2014. I'm sure you recall that case. Officers, white officers, holding down a black man while he continued to say, "I can't breathe." And the supervisor of those officers was a black sergeant, I believe a female sergeant. She didn't change anything. She sat there and watched it. She didn't do anything. In this case, not one of the other officers, while this is going on, tried to tell the other officer, "You need to back off, give him a little bit." You know, not at a single time. I am very pro-law enforcement. But there are times when officers become cowboys. I'm not saying that's what happened in this case, but I will repeat to you over and over again, if a suspect is restrained, you've got it under control, you don't need to continue using force. The officer, for whatever reason, believed that he had to keep him on the ground and keep his knee in the back of his neck, but I don't see him flailing away, so part of his body is blocked by the car, so I can't tell if he's got his hands handcuffed behind him or not. But he's not moving around under the officer trying to shake loose. He's just laying there and said, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe. My stomach hurts. I need water." And nothing was done. Excessive force should not be condoned. So the mayor of Minneapolis coming forward and making his statement.
For 5 minutes, when you hear someone calling for help, you are supposed to help. This officer failed in the most basic human sense.
That's the opinion of the mayor of Minneapolis. I'm going to have to agree with him based on what I see. And again, I still don't have all the facts. But if the man is on the ground, and he was bigger than any of the other officers, be he white, black, yellow, red, from another planet, at that point he's restrained. You've got him under control. And if he's saying he can't breathe, take your knee off the back of his neck. You can still keep it on his shoulder if you're trying to hold him down. But off the back of the neck. And not one other officer standing there did anything. Not one. citizens standing around, they saw it, but what are they to do? If they start getting involved, you know what's going to happen then. Well, of course, as a result of that, they've had minor rioting in the Minneapolis area at that intersection. And I should clarify that. It's not a riot in the sense that they're burning and looting at this point. Nothing in there indicated that to me from what I've seen. But they are gathering and they're holding up signs, I can't breathe, flashing back, of course, to the Garner case, the words that came out of that case in New York. But they're still protesting. And I don't note that any property damage has occurred. And so you could call it still peaceful protest to an extent, although at one point police had to fire tear gas at them to break them up, disperse them. Many police officers I know would be appalled at this as well. And they all acknowledge training is that once you get someone restrained, you stop. You don't need to do anything else. I remember decades ago covering police in Houston. And they didn't care if the suspect was white, black, or brown, but often black and brown suspects got treated the worst. They got him on the ground, and I recall one in particular. They got a guy on the ground, and he's got him behind a car, so they don't think anyone can see, but a news helicopter was overhead, and apparently the officers didn't hear it or thought it was a police copter, and it showed them repeatedly kicking and punching the guy, already handcuffed, down on the ground, when there's no need to do that. Now, there's no evidence that happened here. All we have is that for some reason they did have to take him down and that he must have resisted. I'm assuming, I don't know that for a fact, If he gave them some justification to take him down, that they felt he was becoming resistant, then they've got to get control of it. You can't just kind of be pleased and I appreciate you. Sometimes that works, and other times you've got to show the force and you've got to show it to the extent that they cease and desist. But at this point, he has. According to his brother, knowing my brother is to love my brother. Well, that's a family person speaking, and I'm not going to take away their remarks. That's their opinion. But then the brother also says, they could have tased him. They could have maced him. I agree. Either one of those was an option if they needed it. He said, instead, they put their knee in his neck and just sat on him and then carried on. They treated him worse than they treat animals. The loss of any life is a tragedy. The loss of a life at the hands of a police officer is still a tragedy, even if in cases where the officer has every clear reason to do what they did. In this case, I don't see anything. But again, I'll remind you, I'm looking at the video that's been put out there. We'll put it up at Larry Connors USA Facebook. But don't automatically assume the officers are wrong. I'm telling you, I don't automatically assume that, but based on what I see, I think they used excessive force. And I will say, at that point, if a man is down and saying, I can't breathe, my stomach hurts, I need water, I can't breathe, well, take your knee off the back of the neck. You can still keep him pinned down with your knee upon his shoulder. Yes, the head or the neck is the best way to hold them. But when he starts saying, I can't breathe, that's when you need to reevaluate what you're doing. The Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis, in a statement, said, all the officers are cooperating in the investigation and urged, quote, now is not the time to rush to judgment. I would agree with that. But at the same time, the video does not do those officers or the police force any good. The families are of the opinion that their brother was murdered by those police officers. Now, I had mentioned earlier, I've not seen any video of widespread looting and violence of that type. And I hesitate using the word riot because you just can't. Sometimes it's abused. Let me put it that way. But there apparently was a case where some of the demonstrators wheeled a shopping cart full of rocks just outside police headquarters and dumped it on the ground so folks would have something to throw. And apparently that's when police sprayed the tear gas and dispersed the crowd. Some of them were becoming unruly. Again, they're doing what they need to at that point. The officer in the 2014 death of Eric Garner, when he said, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," that's become a rally cry, of course, for the Black Lives Matter movement, just as "hands up, don't shoot," which was a lie that came out of Ferguson. But in the death of Eric Garner, the officer never faced charges. He was fired 5 years later, found guilty in a disciplinary trial of using a chokehold. And he later sued the city over his termination. And then we got a case that happened in New York involving a woman and a black man. I've got that story still to come, but before we do that, I want to tell you how the New York Times is reporting on what happened in Minneapolis. First of all, they are absolutely ignoring a basic fact. And I don't think it was by accident. I think it's intentional. Coming up.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the New York Times puts out a briefing each day, and I get it. It comes right into my mailbox, and the title of the article today, that opening up with this article and others included, but the main title, "The Persistence of Police Killings," as if they're constantly happening all the time. And just ahead of that is written, "Four Minneapolis police officers have been fired after a fatal shooting." Wrong. Wrong. They were not fired after a fatal shooting. Now, this is the New York Times. It's briefing being issued. Did they make a mistake? Or did they think, if we say fired after a fatal shooting, it sounds better? I couldn't really say, but that's pretty damn sloppy. You're the New York Times, and you're saying four Minneapolis police officers have been fired after a fatal shooting. Now, then when they go into the article, they start talking about a six-month span in 2014. 2014, how many years ago? That'd be, what, six? Yep. Four separate police killings of African Americans grabbed the country's attention. Eric Garner died after being put in a chokehold in New York. We've been discussing that. While Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, Laquan McDonald in Chicago, 12-year-old Tamir Rice in Cleveland were all shot. That is correct. But again, the whole emphasis and direction is here is that police are killing black men. In fact, the mayor of Minneapolis said yesterday, referenced a case that just happened in his city, being black in America should not be a death sentence. Let me break this down for you. New York Times put, with their police violence report here, going back to 2013, showing police killings by the year. 2013, 1,111. 2014, 1,059. 2015, 1,103. 2016, 1,071. 2017, 1,095. 2018, 1,143. 2019, 1,099. That shows no reference to race. So let me give you that breakout because they didn't bother putting it in there for you. This is from Statista, citing a society, a crime and law enforcement. And according to their survey and their stats, looking at years 2017 through 20, this just published in their stats this last March, talking about the number of those shot to death by police in the U.S. by race. By race, in 2017, 457 shot to death by police were white. The same year, 223 shot to death by police were black. 179 were Hispanic. And there's a mix of others, unknown, and so forth. But 457 whites versus 223 blacks, 179 Hispanic in all the same year of 2017. 2018, again, more whites, not by a wide margin. And the same thing when it comes to 2019. So it's not just blacks being shot. Excessive use by police is something we all need to be concerned about. And police need to be better trained, and they need to exercise that training. When we come back, let's talk about the incident in Central Park. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There is an African American man. I am in Central Park. He is recording me and threatening myself and my dog. And my. I'm sorry, I can't hear you either. I'm being threatened by a man in the Ramble. Please send the cops immediately. I'm in Central Park in the Ramble. I don't know.
Thank you.
That is the voice of Amy Cooper, a white woman, calling police saying, I'm being threatened by an African-American man. She was in Central Park in New York, the area called the Ramble, a wooded area. She was walking her dog without a leash, and there is a rule that you have to have the dog on the leash. Her name is Amy Cooper. The man she encountered is also named Cooper, no relationship. The black man, Christian Cooper, he was there doing bird watching. He's on the board of the New York City Audubon Society. And he saw her with her dog running loose, and he was approaching her, telling, you got to put your dog on the leash. That you have to have the dog on the leash, that's the rule. And she took it as a threat against her and that he was going to attack her. Well, he pulled out his phone and started recording. And that really frightened her because he was taking pictures of her, according to her story and the way it plays out on the video. And again, she's by herself with just the dog. Dog doesn't look like an attack dog, but I don't know what that dog would do if anyone did try to attack her or not. I don't know if that dog would fight or run. It looked kind of like a mix of a spaniel or something. But aside from that, it might well have done, thinking it was protecting her. But this guy's never coming at her. In fact, at one point, He's offering treats to the dog, trying to act like he's got a treat. He said, I have seen in the past you do something like that, that it's a strategy that is effective in getting dog owners in to go ahead and put the leash back on their dog so it can't come near me. But in this case, the woman didn't do that. She continued to hold the dog with one hand, the leash in the other, and the phone also in one of the hands while she's calling police and threatening to do so. And he says, please go ahead. Now, what you heard was a short portion of that bite. Let's hear it again as she's concerned and she's calling police and letting her know. And she's not saying she's a white woman, but what she is saying, an African-American man, a black man is threatening me. And I think if you just heard it, you get the impression that if she's saying a black man, that she probably is not black herself. But let's hear it play out.
Would you please stop? Sir, I'm asking you to stop.
Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording me.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
And I'm taking pictures and calling the cops.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
Excuse me? I'm sorry, I'm in the Ramble, and there is a man, African-American, who has a bicycle helmet. He is recording me and threatening me and my dog. There is an African-American man. I am in Central Park. He is recording me and threatening myself and my dog. And my... I'm sorry, I can't hear you either. I'm being threatened by a man in the Ramble. Please send the cops immediately. I'm in Central Park in the Ramble. I don't know.
Thank you.
The black man, Christian Cooper, thanks her for calling the cops. He said, please go ahead, tell them what you want, because he was doing nothing wrong. She felt violated by the very fact he was recording her, and he said, I was doing that because she had the dog off the leash. I wanted the evidence, and saying, you need to put the dog back on the leash. If you don't, I'll do something you won't like. And she suddenly thought, that's escalating to a threat against me, and I'm worried, I'm frightened. Now, I don't know her past with any man, be it black or a white man. At that moment, in her voice, you can tell she's panicked. She's worried. Did she do the right thing and take that attitude? She got fired from her job. She was placed on administrative leave when that video came out, but then she works for Franklin Templeton, and they then decided at a review of the incident, we made the decision to terminate her effective immediately. We do not tolerate racism of any kind at Franklin Templeton. She has since said, I'm not a racist. I did not mean to harm that man in any way. And she did offer an apology. Well, Christian Cooper was on with Don Lemon Fruitcake on CNN last night, and Don Lemon asked Cooper, do you accept her apology? Was it sincere?
I think her apology is sincere. I'm not sure if in that apology she recognizes that while she may not be or consider herself a racist, that particular act was definitely racist. And the fact that that was her recourse at that moment, granted it was a stressful situation, a sudden situation, maybe a moment of spectacularly poor judgment, but she went there and had this racist act that she did.
I'd have to agree with Christian Cooper. She may not be racist at all, but at that point when she's insisting a black man is threatening me, that kind of puts it in context. If you just said a man is threatening me and said, I'll describe you as a black man about such foot, has a bicycle helmet, whatever you want to do, whatever he's wearing. But she didn't do that. Now, it's easy. It's second-guessing. And even she has second-guessed herself. And again, reference her apology, said, I'm not a racist. I did not mean to harm that man that way. Those are her statements. She said, I want to publicly apologize to everyone. She said, when you're alone in the Ramble, you don't know what's happening. It's not excusable. It's not defensible. I was just scared. You can't take that quote, fear away from her or her concern. It's her feelings, her belief at the time, even though there was nothing he was doing other than shooting video of her and her dog. But she said, he's attacking me. He's attacking me. So again, she's insisting I'm not racist. You heard Kristen Cooper kind of give her a pass on saying, well, she may not be a racist, but what she did was racist. And again, the question for him, do you think she's actually racist?
Is she a racist? I can't answer that. Only she can answer that, and I would submit probably the only way she's going to answer that is going forward with, you know, how she conducts herself and you know, how she chooses to reflect on the situation and examine it.
Well, she's saying basically all of this has destroyed her life at this point. She believes it's all taken out of context. And she said, my entire life is being destroyed. My employer fired me. The dog rescue, where she had adopted the dog, has taken the dog back. A writer for CNN says in a headline, the Central Park confrontation sends an ugly message. And deep inside the content is written an opinion piece by Jill Filippiak, I guess that's her correct pronunciation, talking about Amy's response. He said, her woe is me complaints are a bit hard to swallow given her own actions, which could have damaged or destroyed the life of an innocent man. The most charitable interpretation of her call to police is that she expected that, at the least, Kristen Cooper would be detained or arrested, which comes with its own set of financial, professional, and personal consequences. Of course, for Kristen Cooper. And then she adds in the closing, let's hold Amy Cooper accountable, but let's keep our eyes on the prize, a justice system that works, rather than one which so often accepts the word of white people at the expense of black lives and freedom. Obviously, with him there recording it and telling her, go ahead and call police. I mean, it's obvious. He was not worried about police coming. But the other side of that is, if officers arrive and they are not showing proper training and restraint, such as we just saw in Minneapolis, things could escalate quickly. Escalate quickly. Especially if the officers arriving are not black. It could also happen if they are black, but I'm just saying that that scenario plays out pretty fast in some cases. It is not that black people or anyone should fear police, but it's inherent within the communities and families, partly based on fact, obviously, and partly based on a base fear that gets accelerated. In this case, the man was doing nothing wrong. He was out there bird watching. He had a reason to be in the park, as she did, to take her dog out. But she had violated the rule and let him off the leash. Now, if she had not had the dog off the leash, probably none of this would have happened. None of it. But a white woman calling police and saying, I'm being threatened by a black man, that certainly quickly rises to Jim Crow era and what we saw during that time. It did not happen that way this time. And that's good. Again, the CNN writer says Central Park confrontation sends an ugly message. I'm not going to disagree with that totally, but I think you could also say sends a message we should use as a lesson going forward. We're going to take a break. Joe Biden has another excuse as to why he made that remark the other day, and he's blaming the host, the radio host.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years. I have a record that is second to none. The NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. Come on. Take a look at the record.
That, of course, Joe Biden in the interview the other day, last week, with Charlemagne Lagarde in his radio program. Yeah, Biden made a factual mistake when he said the NAACP has endorsed me every time. That's not true because the NAACP does not issue endorsements. They issue ratings, and he's always gotten high ratings, but that does not officially state an endorsement. And the NAACP even came out the other day to reemphasize that. We do not endorse political candidates. We just rate them on what they think, well, what we think they would do for the black community. But that aside, Joe Biden obviously took a lot of flack from numerous black leaders, certainly Republican black leaders, including Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, the only black man in the U.S. Senate, criticized him, said that was offensive. Clearly racist, and it was just uncalled for to say that if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black. And others have come forward, made the same statement that, no, you can't say I'm not black simply because I don't vote for you. And others have said, you don't tell us how to vote. We can think for ourselves. Well, Biden's press team, their first response was to spin it and say he was just joking. No, it didn't mean it's just a joke. Well, then later, as Biden was over the weekend addressing in a phone interview, presentation, I should say, with the U.S. Black Chamber, he said, well, I was too cavalier. I was trying to be kind of a smart aleck, and I shouldn't have done that. And took it upon himself. But he's twisted again now. In an interview with CNN and Dana Bash, she was interviewing about what he said and what he did. And she called him out on the NAACP, and he tried to refute it, but he decided, I'll just back off. But what she did say, she said, my question for you is about what some supporters say they're worried about, which is that all of this could end up hurting the enthusiasm that you really need to win among black voters. And here's where Biden springs another excuse.
Well, first of all, it was a mistake, number one. And I was smiling when he asked me the question. I was, you know, I shouldn't have been such a wise guy with him. He was being a wise guy, and I responded kind. I shouldn't have done that. It was a mistake. I have never taken the African-American community for granted. Never, never, never once.
Oh, I think he has. And I think he still does. But now you see, hey, Charlemagne was being kind of wise off with me, and I thought I'd be wise off back with him. I'll have to admit, portions I saw the interview, Charlemagne was doing a good job asking some tough questions. Is that being a wise guy? But again, Biden's still trying to deflect. It wasn't me. I did it in kind, and acknowledging now I shouldn't have. He said, I was smiling when he asked me the question. I shouldn't have been such a wise guy with him. He was being a wise guy. I responded in kind. It's always, always, as far as the Democrats go, find someone else to blame. We're not going to take the blame. Never, never. We don't do that. We find someone else to blame. In this case, he's turned on Charlemagne. Well, Charlemagne also the other day said that after that interview, he said Biden is typical of the basic, he didn't call it the empire, but the what exists that needs to be torn down. So Netflix is coming out with a special TV series. It's going to start, starting Wednesday, today. It deals with Jeffrey Epstein, titled Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich. And, of course, he's the one who had the islands in the Bahamas, one of them called where he would hold various orgies. And, of course, there had been allegations that Bill Clinton had been there, visiting that notorious island with Epstein. And the guests included teenage girls. In fact, a woman has come forward and said in the past that I was 17 when Epstein made me his sex slave. And she said she recalled seeing Clinton on the island, but he didn't do anything inappropriate. Now someone else on that Caribbean island says, I saw Clinton there also in the porch area of the villa. No one else was there with him at the time. Clinton has constantly denied doing anything on the island or even visiting the island, admitting he took trips to Europe, Asia, and Africa aboard Epstein's private plane, did visit his New York City apartment, but it says, I had Clinton Foundation staff and Secret Service agents with me each time. Well, not according to the flight logs going to the island. According to flight logs, there are times that he was on board the plane with just Jeffrey and some women or girls. But, of course, Bill Clinton's going to deny it, but he's apparently going to be part of the storyline on this Netflix series. Jeffrey Epstein, filthy rich. As you know, he was found hanging in his New York City jail last August. Did he hang himself? Tomorrow, book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.